John 14:6. Well, we all know this one. Night before the morning of the cross, Christ is in the upper room. Soon he'll be marching out to Gethsemane. He made some statements and had three questions and a comment from his little band of 11. And in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Christ, responding to Thomas, said, "Jesus saith unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now tonight I want to talk to you for a little while about history's greatest person. And my intention in this message is to tie it right to the tail end of the one I rushed through this morning. History's greatest person. For about 100 years, I have the exact date somewhere, it started with the NAE. For about 100 years, a curious belief has slowly been sticking its head up within the religious scene of America. This morning was the political scene. But this thing within the religious scene of America. And this belief has been named syncretization. Now, you won't remember that, so I'm going to spell it. All right? Syncretization, this belief. That's syncretization. About 100 years, the thing has been gradually sliding out of its hole, and the creators of it named it syncretization. Now, here's what it is. It's the belief that there are pieces of truth in all the world's religions. And that everyone in any religion is really worshiping God in his or her own way. That's syncretization. Now, keep that in mind. And the thing has an end. And the inventors and purveyors and massagers and pushers of this, they say that ultimately all faiths, regardless, you can be Baha, Haha, Hindu, Parsi, whatever, all faiths will lead men finally to God. And when we have finally reached the place and everybody cooperated and they've got folks like us out of the way, then finally, it's going to take a long time, we'll have maybe a world religion. Now, I don't know if I buy that one or not, but we'll have a national religion anyhow, one national religion. And Robert, everybody will be the same, and I won't be arguing with the Calvinists and they won't be arguing with me. And I won't be sending the Jehovah's Witnesses hurriedly or the Mormons from my doorstep. Because we'll all be one, we have synchronized in one. Now remember, what I'm talking about follows right on the heels of what we looked at this morning. Now there's one big problem that faces this push for synchronizing all the world's religious people into one pot. We got a big problem, and that problem is what they call Bible Christianity. Here we go again, Chris, with the fly in the ointment. Now, not liberal Christianity. This crowd doesn't worry about that because they know they'll join. They've already joined with them. Not radical Christianity and not ecumenical Christianity, Bible Christianity. Now, liberal Christianity believes anything. Radical Christianity usually believes the truth. They're like the Sadducees, but they stretch it to proportions that are unbearable. All right? And ecumenical Christianity welcomes the devil and all of his angels and anybody else aboard. And so they say the one thing that stands in the way of us really getting syncretization out of all religions and bringing the true people together is this group called Bible Christians. Bible Christians, people who say they live in accord with the teachings of the New Testament. Now, that's going on. That's being taught. Oddly, I was going through some files. I found an article I wrote on it 8 years ago in Australia for a newspaper. Found an article. Now, Just a little bit of discussion here. You see, true Bible conservative Christianity is hated more right now than at any time in the history of the United States of America. I said right now. Now, if, listen to this. If you will compare the present moral quality of our country right now with what it was at the turn of the century, the early 1900s, you will see a difference as deep and wide as a Grand Canyon. If that can be done. And it can be done, too. And also, you'll discover that Bible Christianity is gradually being shoved into a backseat position, and the more tolerable, liberal, benevolent, understanding, open-minded clergymen and religious leaders are the people who are always being used in television and program and at the White House prayers and luncheons and dinners. Is that right? Why? I'll show you that in just a moment. You see, Bible Christians have the name, we told you this morning how we got it, have the name of being narrow-minded, bigoted Christians, and our beliefs are being put to an open score. And I want to tell you something here. You know, among Bible-believing Christians, there are some like that. You know that? Among people who really believe the Bible, there are some that are so radical and so fanatical, no wonder they brand us all with the same iron. Now, I don't have to tell you that the Holy Bible and all of its teachings have already been extracted from the public school. Why? Why? You see, listen carefully. For the average young person in the public school, there are no absolute truths. Right down here in this Christian school, Miss Deb and these teachers, I want to tell you something. They will tell you that there are some truths that are absolute. And they'll never change. They will always be. They were here before we were. They'll be here when we're gone. They're as permanent as the throne of God. That's what we mean by absolute truths. If you've ever done any academic study, you know that one of the approaches of the professor, especially in sociology and anthropology and philosophy and political science, one of the great approaches of the professor is, and as students, you must remember that all things are relevant. Relevant. And there are no absolutes out there. All things are relevant. What do you mean, Professor? Well, there's nothing that's really absolute. One man believes not to commit adultery. The other man has a partner. So that's all right. It's relevant and we're just flowing down the stream. All things. There's no absolute. Brother, when I was studying, I heard that so much I could have. I mean, that's what they're being taught today. Now, in the high schools, many of the state schools, and I know there's exceptions, a little school out in the bush where there's one teacher and 20 students and she's saved, she can probably get away with it unless the inspector finds out. But young people are being taught today that there are no absolute truths, and now they see themselves as trained animals. And since there's no God to make a reckoning to, they've decided they've got to make the best they can of the mess that they're in with no happy conclusion. Amen, brother. That's where they are, right there. No happy conclusion. And another thing, I'll tell you what, when you see a young woman, especially a teenager, leave a state school and come to a Christian school, I want to tell you something. Brother, there's something going on in their heart. Either that or they're insane one. Something going on in their heart. Do you see an influx, Miss Debbie? Are they lined up at the door, hundreds wanting to leave the state school and get in here? Well, of course, stupid. Self answering question. Doesn't work that way. But rarely along the line, infrequently, this one will come in and that one will come in and say, I've had enough of it. Not even saved sometime. I've had enough of it. I know it's not right. And in my heart, I want something better. And they're seeking. And I'll tell you what, we better reach out and grab those kind too.
Yes, sir.
While we can. Before they grab permanently the other way. Now, poetry and music have become unintelligible. Poetry and music have become unintelligible. When I was going to Georgia last Monday coming back, I ran a little experiment. And I was thinking about how unintelligible music had become. So I turned the radio on and I punched from one station to another. And here's what I'd get. One station, another station. It sounded like a wreck in a subway in New York. I'm telling you. And I'll tell you, when you go home tonight, you punch across the dial, you stop at this one and listen, stop at that one and listen, stop at that one and listen, and you see how much of that is intelligible. In art, there are no standards where we may distinguish the beautiful from the shockingly hideous. You ever go to a recent art show? I went to one just before I left Johannesburg. Is over there with my son. I like art. I like museums. You know what the word museum means? Thinking. That's all right. Hell's worse than that. The word museum means say. Do you know what amusement means? Amusement park. Amusement is not thinking. Isn't that interesting? And I don't have to tell you that novels and plays and television programs, you know what they're presenting. I don't have to tell you that. Brother Tony Fowler gave us an outstanding rundown on that this morning. And the reason I'm going this way, and I want to tell you something, in every one of these, most of these, the two main words are hell and damn, and now the next word is, oh my God! In fact, some of you may use that. I'm going to tell you what, it ought to shrivel up in your throat and choke you. Next time, may God grant it so, for about 10 minutes, and it'll cure you forever. Yes, sir. You ever notice that? You go visit your relatives, your in-laws, your outlaws, here's five-year-old children. Oh, my God! Oh, my! Oh, my! What's wrong with us? Why, I grew up like a weed. I mean, I've seen my dad walk through snow with the bottom of his shoes out, trying to walk behind him in the snow. And I want to tell you, as ignorant and as backward as my people were, you didn't say that. They'd slap your ears around so many times, they'd look like a slot machine. You wouldn't know what to do. Now, if we need to do something, you all tell us, and we'll do it on the noise we're hearing. So, here we are right now. We're faced with this business of syncretization. And that is blend all religions together and get the best out of all of them. And then everybody will be happy worshiping that. And we'll gallop off into the sunset, hauling high old silver away. We might even leave some silver bullets behind, Brother Bob, on the exit out. Now, do you know what all of this is? All of this gabbling is the devil's attempt to strip and degrade the world's greatest person and to bring him down to a level that neither God nor honest man has ever intended or knows he should be. The whole thing is to de-escalate and degrade the Lord Jesus and to put him down on the level of the world's philosophers and gods and goddesses, and to put the Lord Jesus along with Allah and Mahatma Gandhi and Buddha and Hare Krishna, and to bring the Lord Jesus down in the pantheons of the world's gods and goddesses, and to give him a little pedestal, and to put the world's greatest person there, and everybody be happy with it. But I'm going to tell you, there's some people not going to be happy with it because they know better. In our text in John chapter 14 and verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ made some claims that people have hated to this present moment. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Politicians hate this. I'm going to give you a few illustrations. I'm going to give an illustration of that great mass funeral for those dear Columbine students that were murdered. I'm going to tell you about a preacher that preached and invited them to come to Christ, and they walked out angry and cursing by the hundreds amid death. Don't tell me men don't hate Christ. Well, tell me they don't hate Christ. For 2,000 years, nothing has so infuriated men and devils and religious people like this claim here where Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody gets to God but by me. I mean, that's infuriated them. They hate that with a passion. If you're looking at a new translation of the Bible, you better bump off of that one and see how that one reads. It's very interesting. Now, in these staggering words, the Lord Jesus Christ presents himself as either Christ is the world's greatest person, or he is a lunatic, or he's the biggest successful liar that ever lived. One of the three. A lunatic, a liar, or the Lord from heaven. One of the three. Which one is it? Now, let me move on quickly for you. All right? Here's what we're hearing today. You go to your political rallies, and that's all right. I think Christians should go and toss some weight around, and I think you should make these phone calls, and I think you should identify yourself. And Brother Walt, they're all not going to do it. I mean, might as well accept it. Just don't have what it takes. And you go to your political rallies, and I want to promise you something. Now, you listen to this. You watch them on TV, you go to them, and so forth. I want to tell you, you count how many times you hear the name Jesus Christ come between the lips of any politician. And you tell me. Or you're going to say, oh, Brother Pike, they talk about God. Frank Sinatra said, God bless you. Hey? The Pope says, God bless you. I want to tell you something. We're a bunch of suckers. When the president's finished, Bill Clinton says, God bless America. Huh? Listen, you get this good. You say, man, that's all right. Wake up, folk, to what's going on. You say, oh, they talk about God. Oh, they did. Did they talk about the only way to get to God? That's the question. The Jews talk about God. I've memorized several Jewish prayers. I memorized them. Do you know how every Jewish prayer begins? O God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. That's how every Jewish prayer begins. But I'm going to tell you, you'll never hear the name Jesus, you'll never hear the name Jesus Christ come from their lips. Why? Now let's stop. Ask ourselves why. Brother Jimmy Links shared some with me. It's been months ago. They were having a group of all the homeschoolers come together somewhere, Brother Walt. And they were having a time together. And there was a politician blowing off down the street somewhere. And he heard all those families were there. So in he walks, you know, with his macho. In he comes, this guy. Walks out. Oh, I'm whoever, whoever, representing whoever. And somebody says, would you like to say a few words to the homeschoolers? Did he ever like. He slobbered at the mouth, leapt on the platform, grabbed the microphone. And here it is. Now, listen to this real good. Here it is. Well, I appreciate what you're doing, and we believe in God, and we believe in standards, and we believe in our children, and we believe in country, and we believe in this. And you know what Brother Jimmy said? Jimmy said, Brother Randy, I sat there, and he said, I got madder and madder, and he said, the name Jesus Christ never passed his lips one time. And those suckers out there, oh, I'm going to vote for him. Does it make a difference? The difference is between heaven and hell. That's the difference. Now, Columbine High School. They had a lot of funerals, but they had a mass funeral, and they invited a man in to preach. Franklin. And he's a good preacher. And I've heard him preach on national TV. And he spoke, and he preached, and he closed with the gospel, and he had enough guts to give an invitation, and hundreds of them stormed out, some of them cursing in anger, when they went out and said, how dare him mention Jesus Christ to a mixed religious audience? Hey, you know what I'm talking about, folks? Are you with me? Come on. Hello, hello, hello. With me there, aren't you? Stormed out. George Bush says Billy Graham won him to the Lord. I hope Billy did. He's won a many to the Lord. Said Billy Graham won to the Lord. Won him to the Lord. In one of his debates or whatever, someone asked him. They said, "We've heard about this business of you and the Christian religion, that's how it was put. What do you think about? The question was, what do you think about Christ? Here's his answer. Jesus Christ is the world's greatest philosopher. Now, that might be good, that might be bad. That's true. But he's not that first Don Yerkes. First, he's the Son of God who died to save George Bush and Jim Jackson and Tom Cedar and Harry Oak and all the rest of us. Now, you say, well, he's been expedient like that senator this morning. That's probably right. And expediency that these people are using makes our case harder and harder and harder to ever win. I read this to you a few months ago. I've had it on file. I'm sure glad I kept it. Now, I want to show you what happens when a politician gets up before a state legislature, or if the chaplain of the United States Senate or Congress would get up and he would pray a prayer, and in that prayer he would not only mention God and call on God, but he would invoke God through his blessed, lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show you what would happen in every one of them, just like happened in the Kansas legislature when a Christian church minister in Wichita, Kansas, prayed this prayer. All right? Here's his prayer. They record all of it. He's standing before the Kansas State Legislature like these guys are meeting up here. Now, here's what happens when Joe Wright's got some guts. I faxed him and wrote him a letter. My son called him and he said, Philip, you tell your daddy that I've got 37,000 phone calls alone from Americans thanking me for that. All right, here's his prayer. Heavenly Father, now here's a Christian church minister standing before the Kansas State Legislature. He's a pastor of the Christian church. Here's his prayer. Heavenly, now imagine standing before these. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good, but that's exactly what we've done. We've lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word in the name of moral pluralism. Now, this is political talk. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyles. Man, I'd like to hear that guy preach. We have exploited the poor and called it state lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. In the name of choice, we've killed our unborn. In the name of right of life, we've killed and shot down the abortionist. We have neglected to discipline our children and we call it building their self-esteem. Boy. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and we call it taxes. That's where he blew the balloon. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and call it freedom of expression. Here it goes. Hang on now. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and call it enlightenment. Search us, O God, know our hearts, try us, see if there be any wicked way in us, and cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here by the people of Kansas, who have been ordained to govern our great state. Grant them your wisdom to rule. O Heavenly Father, I ask this prayer in the name of your lovely, blessed, holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind. Amen. You know what they did? Boy, they stormed out of there. They slammed doors. They turned tables over. And they went out of there like a covey of quail when you're bird hunting. And I want to tell you, that's exactly what would happen if some of these God this, God that, God the other, God the other, God the other, God the other, if they got up and said, look, I don't only love God. I want you to know, with no offense to Jews or Muslims or anybody else, I want you to know I'm saved. Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I'm praising Him for myself, whether you can take it or not. You let them say that and see what happens. Right. Now, folks, that's where we are today. And because we've got these God only politicians, some of you sitting here are sucker enough to believe it. I'm not. Now, Don Parker, every once in a while, they ought to let out a little squeak, Jesus Christ. Don't you think? They ought to let out a little squeak, I love the Lord. Jesus Christ. But they're not going to do it. And you know why they're not going to do it. They hate him. They know he stood one way. They don't know where it was. They have a vague idea. Some of them know. One time he stood in an upper room the night before the morning of the cross. And he stood there. Even his own didn't know what was going on. He said, Thomas said, Lord, you're always talking about where you're going. The way he said, what are you even talking about? And there's one of them didn't even know what he's talking about. They found out later. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, Thomas, no man gets to God unless he goes through me. Now, I want to tell you, hey, do you know how that reads in Afrikaans? Let me just put a little linguistic thing on. In Afrikaans, it says, Jesus, well, anyway, ek is die weg, die waarheid, en die lewe. Now, listen, niemand kom na die Vader behalwe deur my nie, nie. Nie is no. In Afrikaans, it's translated, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God except by me. No, no, no. That's how it is in Afrikaans. No, no, no. You don't get there. Now, I want to close this little lesson for you by quoting a couple of verses, and then I'm going to ask you to turn and read with me the last one. In John chapter 15, well, let's go to the first. In John chapter 15 and verse 23, here's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Now, listen to this. Christ said, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. That's it. Mrs. Fraser, that's it. Christ said, if you hate me, the real problem is you hate God that sent me. All right? In Luke 10:16, Jesus said, he that despiseth me despises God that sent me. I sit in the waiting lounge in the International Airport in Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. In fact, Pastor Blake was, we were sending him over here years ago. And I was waiting, and a young lady came in and sat down. I said, hey, and she caught Max, and we began to talk. I said, young lady, you're a Christian. She said, yes, I'm a Christian. Said, I know the Bible's true, but she said, I want to tell you one thing. She said, these born-again people who believe in Jesus Christ, they'll never get to heaven. I didn't know what to say. I sort of said, I never heard that in my life. If you'd have scratched me at that time, I'd have said, thank you, give me a little bit more. I never heard it. Now, the thing about her, brother, she was sincere. And so we began to talk and made a couple comments. And I tried to, I said, where did you get that? She said, look, she said, we know by our theologians, and I found out the particular church she was in, one basically that's up another place. She said, we know by our teachers and our theologians, and especially our pastor, that the Lord Jesus Christ was a good prophet and a great man and established some great rules and laid down some great principles and even died as a martyr to further his religion. But this stuff that the fundamentalists push, that he was God in the flesh, that he came to die for humanity and that he rose from the dead and he lives and he's the only Savior, she said, we'll never have it. Never have it. Listen to this one. John 5:18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Jesus because he had made himself equal with God. Now everybody turn with me to 1 John. That's where Tony started this morning. That was a profound act. Turn to 1 John chapter 2, and I want us to read verse 23, and we're going to close. We're talking to you about the greatest person in history. 1 John chapter 2, in verse 23, I looked at a bunch of them. I thought this is best to finish it off with. The greatest person in history, in religious history, and I know there have been some great persons. I could name a lot of them in history. The woman who started the Red Cross, and there have been great persons, done great things. I realize that through this lousy organization, the UN, I met a man one time. He was a Methodist preacher in South Africa. And a UN agent went in and actually saved that man's life. He was going to be executed. And I know all, you know, in everything you find some good and bad. Everybody does some good. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how to have our sins forgiven, how to know they're forgiven, and how to leave this world saved and miss hell and end up in that beautiful place called heaven we were singing about a moment ago. And ladies and gentlemen, and you here have no problem with it, those who may listen to this tape or order this tape to want to hear what's been said, I want to tell you what, only through Jesus Christ will you get to heaven. And if you want to believe all this other stuff, you have the right to believe it and the freedom to believe it. And in our system, there's still a few mechanisms left for change. Thank God for that. You can believe what you want to. But I want to tell you, this Bible is dependable. It's true. It's authoritative. It's inspired. It's reliable. It's God's Word. It was here before we were. It'll be here when we're gone. And this Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And if we don't go through Him, we won't get there.
That's right.
And if we don't get there, Miss Eva, there's only one other place we're going. And Christ said in John 8:21, if you die in your sins, you cannot go where I am. And if we don't go where He am, as the old colored preacher said, then we're going to go where He ain't.
Yes, sir.
And you know what that is. All right, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 23, and those who can, would you stand with me while we read this? 1 John 2:23, the world's greatest person. Now, don't forget what we've talked to you about. God, God, God bless, God this, God that. Wonderful. Let's hear the rest of it. 1 John 2:23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same has not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let's bow our heads for prayer, shall we? Let's bow. God in heaven, we thank you that you have come to earth in the person of Christ to show us how we may arrive back with you